Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have been here the last 2 weeks, you will have heard that the beginning season of Lent is very much focused on spiritual warfare. In our gospel lesson from the first Sunday in Lent, we saw that the devil tempted Jesus after 40 days of fasting. Last week, we heard of a Canaanite woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon. And today, we see Jesus do another exorcism. It would be impossible for us to claim that there are no such things as angels and demons, that there is no such thing as demonic oppression and possession. It would be impossible for us to declare this if we believe what the Bible says is true. And I would warn you to do exactly that. You must believe what the scriptures teach. Jesus here is casting out a demon, and it kept the man mute. That means that the man could not speak, he could not cry out for the Lord's mercy, he could not sing the praises of the Lord. And so Jesus heals this man. His tongue is loosed, and he cries out praises. But some of them, when they see this exorcism, they cry out. He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Does Jesus cast out demons by the authority of the devil? That's exactly what was being perpetrated here. He casts out demons by Beelzebub, and then others try to test him. So we have some blaspheming him, saying that he has come from the devil. And then we have others who say, we want a sign from heaven. Isn't it sign enough to hear all the mighty deeds that Jesus had done? Jesus has come not to do the devil's work, but the Father's work. So Jesus says, in turn, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. A house divided against a house falls. These words remind me, of course, of the current state of our nation. Never in my lifetime, and I know many of you have lived longer than me, have I seen such division as I see right now. And it seems to only be polarizing more and more. Just this last week, I heard a woman on a popular news station talking about Christian nationalism as one of the greatest threats to our country. The concept that you would allow your faith to dictate what you believe. That God would be the one who dictates your morals, that which is good and that which is evil. This woman said, these Christian nationalists, they're not Christians. They believe that their God has given them their rights. Now, if you've heard that just as I heard it, perhaps your mind immediately goes to these words. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence. Those words were clearly acknowledged by the great men who founded this nation. They acknowledged that it was not the government that gives us these rights, but rather it was nature's God. It was their creator. The government exists not to bestow rights upon the people, but to acknowledge God as the one who bestows those rights. To claim that someone who believes that the Bible dictates our morality, that what God says is good and that which is evil, is somehow something that we shouldn't focus on, is also from the devil. A kingdom divided falls. I think it was just Wednesday when I mentioned that this experience that is America, this attempt at trying something founded on the greatness that is Western civilization, is less than 250 years old. And when you compare that to the great nations that have gone before us, the kingdoms and the empires that have gone before us, that is a very short amount of time. I don't know if we'll continue to be able to go through this trying, but I do know that ultimately God is the one who has given us our rights, and that we use those rights not to be terrible people, not to hurt one another, but that in our freedom, we use it to love God and serve our neighbor. That is the truth. A kingdom divided falls. If Satan also is divided among himself, how will his kingdom stand? If you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. Quote, unquote, Christian nationalism is not the greatest threat to our nation. People who would actually take the faith founded in Jesus Christ as formational for how they live toward God and toward their neighbor would be of extreme benefit. This is something that should be embraced. Christendom is beautiful. It carved out as the foundation of Western civilization. Christendom is the reason why human rights were actually brought forward. It is the reason why we acknowledge that we are created by a God who loves us, that he knit each individual life together for those pursuits, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hopefully you agree that the pursuit of happiness is founded not in our sinful flesh, but in the will of the Lord, that we would love him and serve him, and that in turn we would love and serve the neighbor. The devil is very real, and he is trying to do terrible things throughout our nation and throughout our world. He is a strong man, and in his palace he watches over it. But there is one who is stronger than him, Jesus says. Of course, that is Jesus himself. He has come. He overcomes him. He takes from him all his armor, which he trusted, and he divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters, Jesus says. Who do you serve? Is it the devil? Is it the things in the darkness? Or is it Jesus? Whom will you choose to serve this very day? Is it the father of lies who seeks your death and destruction? Or is it the Lord of our life who sent forth his only begotten Son to suffer and die in your stead, to forgive you your sins? Whom will you serve? There is no neutrality. I know that we like to think that there is somehow that we can be right in the middle where we don't have to pick a side, but there is no neutrality. Jesus is very clear. He who is not with me is against me. How important is it that we gather for worship? He who does not gather with me scatters. The devil tries to pick away at your ears, at your heart, and tries to tell you that gathering is not important. It's not necessary. You have other things that are special towards you. That's exactly what the devil will do. He tries to separate us from our brothers and sisters in Christ. He tries to separate us from the bride of Christ that looks to build us up. The devil is very real. Once he is expelled, and we see that expelling happen in the waters of holy baptism, that the devil has to flee in the name of Jesus, that at the word that attaches itself to the water, this is a life-giving water, the small catechism says. The devil flees. But what happens when he returns, finding a house that is swept and in good order, but empty? Jesus is clear. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. It is good to expel the devil from yourself and his demons. It is good to be baptized. But what is not good is that you do not fill your house. The Great Commission is very clear. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It's not just about pouring water with the word of God over a person. It is teaching them the words and the will of the Lord. This is an ongoing state of being. You are baptized. The devil will attempt to invade again. But if you have filled your house, your temple of the Holy Spirit, with the good things of the Lord, he cannot find a foothold. It is true that Mary is blessed because God chose her to be the mother of God the Son. But Jesus points us not to her, but rather to his word. He says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. St. Paul reminds us that there is a way of life, and there is a way of death. There is a way of light, and there is a way of darkness. He writes, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us in offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. Not filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, they are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. That's what the devil desires of you, to seek after the things that gratify the flesh rather than the soul. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You don't have to walk in the disease that is your sin anymore. You don't have to walk in the disease that is this world or the kingdom of the devil. Walk rather in the light that shines forth from Jesus. The devil is very real, but so is Jesus. The strong man is overcome by that which is stronger, and the devil will be cast into the eternal fire forever. The church sings, Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.